Our scripture this morning will come from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Let's turn our attention to God's word and the proclamation. In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
There's times when all of us need a fresh set of eyes. Maybe we just are tired, we're weary. We need a fresh look, a fresh view, a fresh perspective. I cannot count the number of times over the years I've written an article and I would proofread it. And then I would hand it to Cherie, and she would find several things that I had missed. The value of fresh eyes. The value of another perspective. The value of being able to see things in an objective way. This is so important because every time Christians get together, every time we get together, we all should leave those occasions with a fresh set of eyes, a renewed perspective, a clearer view. While there are many purposes for worship, while there's many purposes for our assemblies, everyone should always leave with a fresh view of God and how great He is. We had a marriage seminar over the weekend. 22 to 25 couples participated, and about another 25 were involved either as kids who were being taken care of, or child care, or food delivery, or some way. So 70 to 80 people in this congregation were involved. But the involvement of many made it possible for all the couples that were involved in the seminar to get fresh eyes and a fresh perspective on God and their marriage. And that a marriage isn't simply about a husband and a wife. A marriage is about a husband and wife and God. Worship should do that too. It gives us a fresh set of eyes. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6, and we are going to quickly but very practically go through Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 13. And we're going to discuss the theme, a fresh view. A fresh view. A fresh set of eyes. A fresh perspective. When you look at Isaiah 6 and verse 1, notice this first of all. People need a fresh view concerning tragedy and loss. Every home, sooner or later, knows a loss or tragedy. Some in this very assembly are still grieving over these things and will for the rest of their lives. Isaiah 6 and verse 1 begins with, "In the year that Uzziah died." He had been king for 52 years. About the only thing that we might understand that would relate to that is that the people of Great Britain had Queen Elizabeth for over 50 years as their queen. And yet, them being across the pond and other things make that even somewhat distant for us, because we find it hard to relate to that closeness that's going to come and sense of stability. The time of Uzziah had been a time of prosperity and a lot of good things for the most part. But the thing about Uzziah was, 2 Chronicles 26, he was marvelously helped until he became strong, until his head became big and he became proud. God had helped him. The text doesn't explicitly say in Isaiah 6, but 2 Chronicles 26 tells us that God struck Uzziah with leprosy. He died a leper. And in some ways, he is a living embodiment of the people of God at that time. God had been so good to them and gracious and blessed them. Yet they, like the king, became full of themselves and unclean. Dealing with tragedy, it was the end of an era. It was the end of a time. We need a fresh perspective on tragedy and loss, because what does Isaiah see? He not only sees that this happens in the year that Uzziah died, he says, I saw the Lord. The Hebrew word is Adonai. He's the powerful one. He's the king. And a year in which Uzziah died, and we knew it was coming, but still, I saw a greater king. I saw an ever-present king. I saw a powerful king, Adonai. Secondly, we need a fresh view of tragedy and loss, because we should always be able to see a far greater king than any earthly ruler. We ought to see a far greater loved one, God, than any loved one. And that doesn't take away from the loss, but it gives us someone else to look to and to rejoice in the presence of God, of those faithful ones that have passed to go to be with Him. But notice what else Isaiah sees. He gets a fresh view of tragedy and loss, but he gets a fresh view of God. In the opening verse, I had mentioned the presence of God, even when someone who had been such a fixture in the life of the people is no longer there. But now what you see is this. You see the sovereignty and the majesty of God. I see His throne. I see Him high and lifted up. Put Isaiah 57 and verse 15 in your Bible by that reference, because it's a way of speaking of God and His majesty and His sovereignty. There's a king that's alive and well. He's on the throne. The train of His garment fills the temple. Everything about the scene is majestic. Everything about it shows His sovereignty. Everything about it shows that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, 16. You have in Isaiah 6, 1 through 4, reference made to the shaking of things. I appreciate Brian saying something about that. We live in a world that's full of being shaken. We have an unshakable God. God, when He makes things shake, they really shake. We think our world is full of things that can shake people up, but when you people see something of the greatness and awesomeness of God, there's smoke and they're shaking, and it's not smoke and mirrors. It's smoke because God is righteous. He shakes things because of His majesty and sovereignty. When Christians come together, we all need a fresh view of God. We need fresh eyes and seeing how awesome He is. What else is stressed in this passage is God's holiness. What we have in this passage is the super superlative, holy, 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 holier, holiest, and beyond. Yesterday, we gave a few gift cards to people that attended the marriage seminar, and Carl Ivanhoe got one, and it was to Bed Bath & Beyond. Is that where that car was? Well, God is holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 and beyond. That's God. And you see this with the seraphim. These are angelic beings. And it says that each one has six wings. Two that cover their face, two that cover their feet, and two with which they fly. These angelic beings, with their wings of flight, they serve God. With their wings around their feet, they are humbled before God. And with their wings around their face, they reverence God. Because although the very name seraphim means burning ones, and they are in the presence of God, God is so holy, so pure, so amazing, that they cannot look at Him in all of His purity, all of His awesomeness. He's light. Pure light. What a scene. When Christians come together, we need to get fresh eyes on tragedy and loss. We will not sorrow as those who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. When Christians come together, we will have a fresh view of God and how powerful and great He is. Again, when you look at Isaiah 6 and verse 5, when Christians come together, when God's people come together, there ought to be a fresh view of oneself. A fresh view of oneself. Isaiah had pronounced six woes on God's people in Isaiah chapter 5. Woe, W-O-E, a grief-filled denunciation. These people are in sin. And Isaiah, as God's prophet, is crying out against their sin and warning about God's judgment. But when he thinks about tragedy and loss and the presence of God, and when he thinks about God in His power and holiness and sovereignty, fresh eyes on oneself. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. In the midst of a people with unclean lips, I'm finished. I've seen something of God's greatness and His glory. He's the Lord of hosts. Mine eyes have seen the King. I'm a dead man. Because people don't see what I've seen. It's not something that happens very often. When God's people come together, we get fresh eyes on ourselves. Some people tend to think of themselves too highly. Others, on the other hand, tend to think of themselves in too low of a fashion. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, how we can be both of those people at different points in our lives. Think too highly of ourselves, not think highly enough of ourselves. Romans 12 and verse 3, a man should not think more highly of himself than he ought. And yet in Psalm chapter 8, what is man that you are mindful of him, God? You have made him just a little lower than the angels, and you crown him with glory and honor and good things. When God's people come together, we ought to be able to look at ourselves honestly. Troy and the shepherds' council and call to worship talked about 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, and examine oneself whether we're in the faith. Being in the presence of other Christians ought to help us examine ourselves as we look to the Lord. Next, in looking at this passage, look at Isaiah 6, verses 6 and 7. We need to have a fresh view of forgiveness. When God's people come together, whenever we are around each other, it is healthy and proper for there to be fresh eyes on forgiveness. Here's what happens. One of the seraphim, one of those angelic beings, takes tongs and goes to the altar and gets a coal. Evidently, this is the will of God. And comes and touches the unclean lips, the mouth, the tongue, it seems, of Isaiah. The possibility of cleansing, the possibility of, after our acknowledgement of what we are, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. The very lips you want me to use, God, as your prophet, I know to be unclean. You know, as Christians, we can kind of relate to that. Is your speech all that it should be all the time? Don't lie. Don't deceive yourself. One passage will make all of us think and get a new perspective, fresh eyes. If any man sin not with tongue, what? The same as what? If any man doesn't sin with the tongue, what is he? He is a perfect man. James chapter 3, 1 through 12. What I'd have to say if I were Isaiah is this: cleanse my mouth, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, cleanse my hands, cleanse my feet, cleanse me all over. And you know what? God does all of that in Jesus and the cleansing He provides. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. A fresh view of forgiveness, how wonderful it is. Notice, if you would, verse 8 of Isaiah 6. There's a fresh view, fresh eyes, a new perspective on devotion. God asks a couple of questions. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The Holy, Holy, Holy One. The Trinity, if you want to look at it, really, in light of New Testament revelation. The Godhead. The Father, the Son, the Spirit. Who will go for us? Notice that the task is not specified. Not in that verse. Who will go? It's about going. That's it. That's generic. It's about being sent. And with devotion, a new set of eyes, based on what he has been seeing, Isaiah says, see me? Send me. I remarked last week, I doubt it was like the song we sing, although I appreciate it so much. Here am I, send me. That's ready at your bidding, Lord, send me. Well, it's true, but I think the way he said it on that occasion in the presence of God in this vision, it seems, there would be great humility, don't you think? Here I am. Send me, Lord. Devotion at its best is done because of humility that is awestruck by God and who He is, and that He would want to have a relationship with you and me. So there was a willingness to be responsible, a willingness to comply with what God desires, a humble willingness out of love. You know, and you think about all this, contextually, it's happened right after he has had his mouth and lips cleansed. Cleansing ought to lead to willingness. You remember when a man born blind was questioned by the religious leaders, and they were really trying to put him on the spot. They were trying to back him into a corner. And he says in John 9:25, one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. When we gain a fresh view of things, we can see how blind we might have been and how much clearer things seem to be now. Look, if you will, at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. He gets a fresh view of his mission, a fresh view of his task. And when you look at this particular section in Isaiah, here is what God is saying. Your task, your mission as my prophet is going to be harder than you ever imagined. The more you preach, the more blind many are going to be. The more you preach and teach, the more deaf they are going to be. The more you preach and teach, the harder their hearts are going to become, many of them. You think he regretted saying, here I am? I don't believe he regretted it for a moment. But he has to deal with this. the reality that the task was going to be difficult. But God, think about this. I love this. By this in your Bibles, put the honesty of God. Those of us who preach and teach today think our job can be hard, and it can. You try to talk to somebody that's not a Christian, it can be really hard, can it? But it's nothing compared to the job that Isaiah had. Really, his was going to be a message of judgment. Judgment's coming. But it's also a message of salvation. But God is saying, Isaiah, I want you to know. The masses, the majority, aren't going to listen. And as a matter of fact, if anything, they're only going to get more closed. The honesty of God. We can count on God to help us see what we need to see. And we can count on God to give us the grace and the strength to do what needs to be done, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. Now, verse 13. Because you read verses 9 through 12, it's a downer, and Jesus quotes this very passage repeatedly in the gospel accounts about his own ministry. And I said this about it last Sunday. The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. Now, verse 13. When we come together as God's people, if we're really going to emphasize what matters, we need to emphasize hope. We need to emphasize hope. It's an anchor of the soul. Hebrews 6, verses 18 and 19. Hope saves. Romans 8, 24. Hope abides. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. Hope gives us something that comforts us and is good. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Hope. And when you look at verse 13, there's terms that kind of cause you to scratch your head and you're not sure that you see it, you're not sure that you get it. References are made to a stump. References are made to a holy seed, a remnant. References are made to a tenth. And it's a figurative expression. All of them are. While many would go into captivity because of sin, there would be a remnant of God's people in that occasion who would go on. God has always had His remnant, and that should give us hope. Put this in your Bible by verse 13. God is amazingly compassionate. God's amazingly compassionate. Because He always has His remnant. And through the remnant comes hope. Out of a stump, out of the line of Jesse, Isaiah 11, 1 and following, would come Jesus, the King, the real King. Yes, a message of judgment Isaiah had to proclaim. But he also proclaims a message of hope that God would always have people that he would show compassion to who clinged to him. I like Isaiah 6, don't you? Every time Christians come together, if we're going to emphasize things that really matter, I think Isaiah 6 is a pretty good template, a pretty good model to think about. Because God gives us a different perspective on tragedy and loss. A different perspective on who's really in control and who's the king. A different perspective on ourselves. A different perspective on cleansing. A different perspective on devotion and mission. A different perspective on hope. Thank you for listening. The lesson is yours. How's your vision? What do you see? What do you see about this opportunity today, a day of worship and praise to our great God? And how will you respond? There's undoubtedly some here that need to respond to God by coming to Him and being cleansed, coming in faith, repentance, and desiring to be baptized to be added to the church of our dear Lord. What a great day it would be for you to do that today. And for those of us who are Christians, it might be a day that we go to God and say, God, I need you, and I'm asking the people of God at this place to pray for me and with me that I know your grace and your awesomeness as I deal with loss and tragedy and difficulty and heartache in my own life. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. Let us stand and sing.